So we just got back from vacation this week. We were off for about a week and a half for Christmas and New Year's, and you guys didn't go anywhere. You stayed put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I regret that, too. I always regret it when I stay put.
My wife and I stayed here for Christmas and had Christmas with her family, but then we decided to take a short trip for New Year's and a trip that I've always wanted to make. We went to California, and we made the drive up the one from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Actually, San Jose. We flew out of San Jose.
Awesome.
You did this last year. You didn't drive all the way up the one, but you went to the Monterey Peninsula and all of that.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that. I've been as far north as San Luis Obispo. That's about halfway between L.A. and San Francisco. And I've been as far south as San Francisco, but I've never been to that Big Sur area or the Monterey Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So the trip started off with us flying into LAX. And the whole trip almost didn't happen. We're having an uneventful flight. It's a fairly big plane, three seats on each side. And we are headed into LAX. And we are very close to landing, probably 5 minutes from landing, I would say. I don't know what the altitude was. We were probably at, 5,000 feet, 4,000 feet? We're pretty low.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the plane makes the hardest left turn imaginable, an F-16 type left turn, where we are on our side. We are at a 90 degree angle.
Whoa.
I've got the window seat, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm just staring right at the ground. My wife is in the middle seat. I grab her hand, she grabs my arm, and there is screaming throughout the plane. And my first thought was, wow, for whatever has caused this, we are so far left that it feels like we're about to flip over. Like we're, it's out of control, like we can't.
And if it does that, you're cooked.
Yeah. And so for that brief, whatever it was, 5 seconds, I thought, this is it. Something drastic has happened. Something's really gone wrong here.
Does the life thing flash before your eyes? Is that true?
Well, you know, I've been through this before. I won't go through the whole story, but I had that incident 10 years ago in a small plane where we did a nosedive because our cabin became depressurized. And I had a very calm feeling then. It was like, wow, I'm going to die in a plane crash. That's really weird, but it's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do about it. This was more terror-filled for me. I don't know why it was so unexpected. And I just thought, man, I don't want to die now. I'm not ready, and this is not going to be a good way to go. I remember thinking, at least we're kind of close to the ground, but that's probably not going to matter. It's not a big fall. But so then we start wobbling. We go from all the way perpendicular to the ground to now he's trying to right it, but we're going back and forth. Mm. We're wobbling like this. And now my next thought is, he's overcompensated, and now it's an out-of-control, back-and-forth thing. People still screaming. This whole thing lasted probably 20 seconds, I would say.
That's a long time.
A long time.
It does seem like an eternity.
Finally, it gets righted. And everybody's kind of looking around, and nobody knows what to say or do. And then the flight attendant, who's been a real smooth-voiced flight attendant the whole flight, we're going to need you to take your seats because our departure time is fast approaching and we want to get to LAX on time. Thank you very much for your cooperation. All of a sudden, he comes on. Everything's okay. That was nothing to worry about. We fly to LAX all the time and we hit these weird air pockets, and so there's some turbulence, but we're going to land where everything's going to be fine.
Please, Jesus, just leave.
He had such shake voice.
So what it was? You hit some sort of wind...
That's what he said.
They never gave any more explanation than just that one announcement right afterwards.
However, as we are deplaning and the pilot is standing there with failed smile saying goodbye to everybody.
Say, nice landing, Chief.
Yeah, you know, one lady said, hey, thanks for saving us there. And then the other lady right in front of me said, at least we're not going to be in the papers. And the pilot said, well, I don't know about that.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
So as we're at the luggage carousel, this woman...
Did he look drunk?
No, he looked fine. He looked very happy to be alive. As we're at the baggage carousel, this woman says, I was sitting next to a guy in the Navy, and they were on the other side of the plane. He was on the window. He saw a giant plane heading right for us.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says that what we did was an evasive maneuver, that it was... he thought both pilots not paying attention. And at the last second, our pilot saw this plane and dove, basically a hard left as you can make. And he said, at least that's the story. That makes more sense than an air pocket.
Of course it does. An air pocket, I don't think, does that
to
a plane.
No, it doesn't make you take a hard left. This was an evasive maneuver.
Wow. So no one interviewed you on the ground like...
No. And we've been looking in the newspaper.
Junior Miller, come here. Junior Miller.
Hey, champ.
Give us a quote for the community paper.
Been looking in the newspaper for a story about a near miss at LAX. Haven't seen it. Although those usually come out like a month or two later once a reporter gets the monthly file or something.
As soon as you told us about this yesterday and you just said it was on the landing, I've thought so many things about it. Like, did someone ask you about it? Or did you think about calling someone to say, well, I don't know, the FAA or something to report it?
No,
I'm sure
they
have to, but I think you're owed some sort of explanation as to what the heck was that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
there's got to be freedom of information on that stuff. I don't know about contacting the Future Farmers of America.
No, the FAA.
Yeah, the FAA, not the
Federal Aviation Administration.
I may have said that. Did I say that?
No, you said that. Yeah, maybe I should, but that thought never crossed my mind.
Or the airline, just to say, you know, I was just wondering, what was that all about?
Just curious,
anyway?
how close to death were we? I mean, we're fine now, you can tell me.
We kind of laugh about it now, but...
I mean, a guy on the other side of the plane said that there was a plane bearing down on us. I don't know.
Man, that is frightening.
It freaked us out the rest of the day.
I'd be ticked that they didn't give you more of an explanation then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to come on and say, hey, look, this is what happened. And if they lied to you in that and you find out that they lied to you, is that a violation or are they just allowed to tell you whatever they want to?
I don't know. But the flight attendant who came on with that explanation, he came on so quickly after the incident and
how
had such shake voice.
Know?
I don't think he knew. I think he was
just trying to calm everyone down.
Yes.
Even though he had shake voice, I don't know if that really calms everyone down.
Right.
After the plane got out of the wobble, did you look up and the cockpit door was open and there was a lap dance going on?
No.
Gosh.
No. And I'm thankful that the pilot did save us. You know?
He may have done
a great
his
maneuver.
Heroics that saved you.
He may have sullied you.
Maybe.
In the good way, I guess.
All right, so I guess I'll look into it.
I would.
Just to satisfy the curiosity.
Up. He won't follow up.
Get an email war over it.
All right, so then our vacation continues, and we spent the first night in L.A. And
did you enjoy yourself after that?
You said that you felt like you had a new lease on life.
Yeah, we had a great trip, and I think it's because we felt like we were on borrowed time. I feel like that several times. I should have died in that plane crash, several years ago.
And the devil saved you then, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that so much. I don't think I sold my soul for
like
that incident. I think it was another one. So we ended up having a good time. We went to a UCLA basketball game that afternoon, and that's something I'd always wanted to do, go to Pauley Pavilion. Grew up as a kid watching college games from Pauley Pavilion and thinking it was the most magical place. John Wooden and Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and the Streak, and it just always looked really cool, although I was always bothered by the construction of the arena. I felt like they left too much space behind each baseline to where the stands start.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need that much space for volleyball, and I don't think they need that much extra space for gymnastics, and that's the other activities that take place there.
With baked potatoes.
So why did they build it that wide? I don't know. Anyway, I put some photos from our trip up on my Twitter page. You can follow me at junior_Miller. And there's a picture from our seats at Pauley and what our vantage point was, and it was great. They have a little cookout thing outside the arena, tailgating, if you will. They're cooking up brats and whatnot, so you can go out there and you can eat before the game. And the arena is just, you look up at the banners and all the national championship banners. It says John and Nell Wooden Court, so they've dedicated it to John and his wife. And it's just, they play lots of good videos of the old days and messages from Kareem and things like that. And it's just, it drips with tradition.
It's fair.
Our seats were good. They were playing Delaware State, so they kind of blew them out. And it was good to see UCLA with a big win, even though it was Delaware State. It was just a great experience. I love that arena. It's got that theater lighting where the upper deck is kind of dark, but the court's lit. And
it's
very, very cool. And they had a little band going. And
was she bored off her ass? seeing all this?
Heading there, she was not looking forward to it. But once we got there, she really got into it. And she bought a UCLA T-shirt and was laughing at some of the people. And there was a guy behind the basket in a fright wig trying to scare the Delaware players. And she got into it. I think she started to kind of realize the magnitude of the arena that we were in. And although one time she offended me, and I think any Bruin fan within earshot, when she said, "Now, who's the legendary is it Wooten?" I said, no. You don't say that. That's like saying Landry in a Cowboy game. It's Wooden. Wooden. It's... So we had a blast there. Went to dinner in L.A. that night. Had a great time.
Well, that's a major sports venue crossed off the list.
Yes. Always wanted to do that.
I thought we went there one time together. Didn't see a game.
We didn't see a game.
Yeah. Where'd you eat in L.A.?
We ate at this place up in Malibu on the coast.
Joffrey's
is how you pronounce it.
Yeah. God, I eat there every time I'm out in Malibu.
That's
great, isn't it?
The atmosphere is fantastic.
You eat out on the patio?
Yeah. At night with the fire pits going and everything.
Hear the waves.
Yeah. Great place. So then we drive up the one, and we go all the way up the coast. We go through Oxnard, Ventura. I had flashbacks from Cowboys training camp. We go up Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara, then over the mountains past Neverland Ranch. We didn't see it, but it's in that area.
It's going on now.
We went to Solvang, where Sideways was filmed. And then that night at our hotel, we rented Sideways and watched it. And I'm reminded of what a brilliant movie Sideways is. Those two guys, Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church, together are just brilliant. That movie's hilarious. It's poignant. It's beautifully shot.
Did y'all eat at the Brick Oven or what is that place called? Something Grill.
The Hitching Post.
The Hitching Post. There you go.
We didn't eat at the Hitching Post, but we ate at another place that they ate at in Los Olivos. Then we spent a couple days in San Luis Obispo, which is one of my favorite towns in America. It's a funky little town. It's halfway between L.A. and San Francisco, but miles from either. It's a little college town. Cal Poly SLO is there.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. It's in this valley surrounded by the mountains, but the ocean's just over one of the mountain ranges. And it, great, great vibe there. Then we go up the one past San Simeon. Past the Hearst Castle. We didn't stop and take the tour, but we saw it. Saw it sitting up on the hill, and wow, it's incredible.
Strange monument to loneliness.
Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
Keep going up the one through Big Sur. Breathtaking drive. It's a two-lane road. It's twisty, but you've got the Pacific and the drop-off and the cliffs to your left and the mountains to your right. Stopped at this little restaurant at Big Sur, which overlooks everything. Ran into a local judge and his wife from Dallas who were there on vacation. Yeah, I had a moment with them. It was pretty cool. Always cool when you run into people from Dallas on vacation in a remote place. And then we drive up into Carmel and Monterey Bay. And we stay at Monterey. We spend a lot of time in Carmel.
Oh! Carmel's a neat little town, isn't it?
Great little town. We went to Pebble Beach. I told you about the drive yesterday, 17-mile drive. And I put another picture up on my Twitter page from where we ate lunch at Pebble Beach. We ate at the lodge there overlooking 18.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see as much of the course. I know you played it last year, which must have been incredible.
That was awesome.
And you told us that story, and it sounded like just a great time. I want to go back and play, but I want to be good when I play. I don't want to go there and fire a 120.
You might. It's worth it, though. It's by far the best golf experience I've ever had is playing there.
And it's a beautiful course. I only got to see a few of the golf holes, maybe three or four that you could see from the road or from the lodge there at 18.
Yeah.
The thing that struck me, and I posted this picture, how narrow the 18th fairway is.
Yeah.
I couldn't hit that in a million tries.
Yeah.
It's so thin, and I guess you don't realize it on TV how thin it is.
It's so intimidating, too, when you have all that mess to your left. I mean, it's beautiful, but all the rocks and waves crashing up, and yeah, it's
really
intimidating.
Beautiful course, beautiful setting.
Never heard of it.
And then I wrap up the trip story with something that's very awkward and very funny. We went out to dinner in Carmel one night, and we're walking back to our car, and everybody there parks on the street. There are no parking garages or anything. You just find a spot on the street. So you're walking for blocks, and there's nobody out. This is 10 or 11, and the city shuts down early, and we look ahead, and there are these four people getting in a car, two men and two women.
It's hot.
Three people get in a car, and then one guy lingers, and he looks like Harry Carey. He's about 60 years old and kind of looks like he's a mess.
Hello, Jim.
And as my wife and I get closer to him, and we are the only people on the street, he rips the loudest fart
no.
that I have ever heard.
So he was doing that before he got in?
Yes. He let the other three people in his party get in the car. Then he stood outside thinking he was all alone and ripped the longest, loudest fart.
At least he was considerate.
But by
George
the time
is pumping his fist in the air. What are you doing?
That's so awesome.
But by the time he's in the middle of it, my wife and I are five steps from him. It's dark and the streets aren't really well lit, so he couldn't see us coming necessarily. Plus, he's kind of an older guy.
Gosh, and, listen to that.
And after he's done with it, he kind of hears us or something, and he looks and he sees us and gets the most embarrassed, startled, shocked look on his face as both my wife and I have hot, huge smiles.
He hated being right now, human gosh. At that point.
He hated
about
himself.
That, everybody.
That's George in 20 years.
And we took,
it's George now.
That's we not, took two or three
oh
steps
God,
past
you crop
him.
Dusted me at ticket stock last year.
We got two or three steps past him and couldn't hold it in any longer and start laughing, and we just couldn't believe what I had heard. So thoroughly embarrassed that guy.
Man, that's a highlight of the trip yeah. right there.
Did he lift off the ground for just a moment like a jetpack?
And so we flew back home on New Year's Day. No incidents there, by the way, and got back home safely. So it was a good trip. Cheated death.
That sounds like it.
And ran into the mad farter. It's 8:33 on Sports Radio 1310.